What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can follow my co-host, Big Dave, at Bowl, B-A-W-L Sports. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Up ahead on today's episode, we got to talk about the conclusion of Bulls Summer League and what stood out, especially three key players who might actually see some minutes for the Bulls this season. After that, we're going to go into the big press conference welcomes of our big-name free agent acquisitions, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, and DeMar DeRozan, what we thought was interesting and or important from their introductory press conferences. All of that ahead on today's Locked On Bulls. Let's go.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome in, everybody. Big Dave, while that intro was playing, I saw you playing with the dreads. Did you make it to the barbershop? Did you get a fresh cut? You get a fresh twist?
That's happening tomorrow. That's happening tomorrow. Man. I'm going to the barbershop. You know, so it's two spots, Matt. So you got to go to barbershop in the morning, you know, to get the beard correct and tight and all proper like. And then I got to go see my homegirl, you know, who twists me up all beautiful and stuff like that. So it's a process, Matt. I go see the barber first, then I go see her. That's how that process goes.
Takes a lot of work to look that beautiful, baby.
Hey, man. Somebody got to do it.
That's why I just put a hat on, and you know,
shave.
I did shave. I was like, man, I'm looking a little scraggly right now. All right, Big Dave. Great. Basically, I'm curious. What do you want to start with? We're going to talk about the Bulls Summer League here. Our biggest takeaways. The last couple of games, you know, P. Will played three games, and then the Bulls said, "Okay, you're good." Devon Dotson sat out the last game and a half, last two games with a mild ankle issue. And so we kind of shifted. We saw a lot more of Ayo Dosunmu and Marko Simanovic. You know, they're back-to-back second-round picks of last year and this year. We saw them have more of a focal role in their last couple of Summer League games. But which player do you want to start with? Where do you want to start with our what you took away from Summer League conversation?
Let me start with Ayo. Because he plays the point guard position here. Here's Ayo. Man, I like this dude. I like him. I like him a lot. He has a lot to work on, and we'll get into that for sure. But here's what I like first and foremost. He plays like I'm the best player on the court every time I step on the court. I like him. I wanted to see him at the point guard position where he can be the main focal point. I'm glad I got to saw that, and it looked better than it did in those first couple of games when he was kind of the off guard, and his whole focus was, you know, just, well, I'm not scoring, so let me play some defense. When you saw him running point, you saw that transition all the time. You saw it happening constantly. You also got a great chance to see how good of a passer he is. Listen, man, that pick and roll with that little bounce pass he was tossing to Marco and everybody else was beautiful to watch. He is awesome doing that stuff. That pocket pass he had, awesome for doing that stuff. He was scoring, you know, what he had, 26 or 27 in the first time he played it. I think 19 in yesterday's game. So scoring was not an issue for him. The issues for him came on the three-point shooting because he was definitely struggled at that. Didn't matter if it was catch and shoot. Didn't matter if it was pulling up. He definitely struggled with that. Also think he will be looked at a little harsher by referees on his defense. I think that whistle is going to blow for him, and I'm going to need him to figure out how to play that defense without fouling all the time, which I'm not accusing him of doing, but some of those whistles, I thought they were just giving him those whistles, you know what I'm saying? And that scares me going into the season because I don't want him to get that reputation because it's hard to get rid of that reputation when refs are just, you know, calling fouls on you all the time. So, but overall, I was impressed. I love the way he went to the cup and got the rebounds and started the break. Like I said, him in transition was amazing to watch. His defense, Matt, is what's going to get him on the court this year. Bottom line, no matter how good he was playing that point and facilitating, nothing he did was better than that defense that he was playing. He was awesome at that. And that is why he will get some time because whoever their best player is on the first or second unit, if they're doing something, they're going to put him on them. And it's going to be fun to watch because he really plays with that chip, Matt, that chip on his shoulder. And he kind of, like I said on this show before, Matt, like it's like a Patrick Beverley type to me. You know, the way he plays that defense, that irritant, you know what I mean? That mm-hmm. that guy who uses his size, that guy that gets up in your gut. And I like that about him. So, yeah, I was overall impressed by what I saw. He looked like what I thought he would look like in the summer league.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right with your positive impressions and your concerns with Ayo. I think time will tell if the Bulls actually got a steal with this guy, and he mm-hmm. was a first-round quality kind of draft prospect that, because it was such a deep and loaded draft, for whatever reason or reasons, slid to the second round, and the Bulls were able to get him at 38. For whatever reason, and I know there's a lot of crossover of Bulls fans and Illini fans, right? Mm-hmm. Especially mm-hmm. with that Illini team being as good as it was in his final year. I'm trying to temper the expectations of some of these IO like diehards who are already like, you know, and of course your pal Fred is one of them who's like, IO, I sarcastically made some joke about Fred predicting, you know, sixth man of the year as a rookie. And Fred was like, yeah. Like, you got to calm down. Honestly, if it weren't for Coby White being injured and still rehabbing for likely at least the first month of the season, yeah. from October through early November, I don't think Ayo would be in this rotation at all. At Fair. All. Fair. If Coby is indeed not ready, we might see Ayo play some fringe minutes. And I agree with you in that the way he's going to earn minutes is on the defensive end, especially mm-hmm. if this team is trying to be a better defensive team in certain areas than they were last year. Mm-hmm. But that's also why you brought in Lonzo. That's also largely why you brought in Alex Caruso. Mm-hmm. And here's the other element to that. I think the other thing that we learned in Summer League, and maybe this will change and evolve, but right now, Ayo looks like a player who is much more comfortable playing on the ball and leading the offense and creating than he was playing off the ball. Yes. Because in the first couple of Summer League games, when it was a lot of Patrick Williams and Devon Dotson as the lead guard, Ayo looked a little lost playing off the ball.
Yeah.
And then P-Dub says, all right, here, there's my three games. Peace, I'm out. And Dotson goes and sits with the ankle. And then Ayo becomes that guy for their last couple of Summer League games. Mm-hmm. And he looked way more involved and comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, putting up 26 points in that one contest. He looked more natural and more comfortable. Given the way that this roster shakes out and Billy Donovan's likely rotation, he might get in there because, as we have talked about plenty of times, Donovan loves to use three-guard lineups. So that will certainly work in Ayo's favor. Mm-hmm. But is he going to be backup point guard more so than Alex Caruso? Maybe you can see Caruso playing off the ball at times because he is at least a somewhat fair. Legitimate three-point threat off the ball.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
You know, I'm just kind of wavering right now on how much of a significant role I'm really expecting Ayo to see, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I didn't like what I saw from him in summer league. I just think Bulls fans should temper their expectations a little bit.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, Matt. I mean, second-round rookie. You know, it's very rare that a second-round rookie immediately, you know, becomes the focal point, you know what I'm saying, at a position. I don't care what position it is. It's very, very rare that happens. They, even when they're coming off the bench, it's rare that they're like, okay, you're the point guard that's going to run things. You're the small forward that's going to run things. You know, of course it happens. It's just a very rare thing. I can see. I think that's a great point you made about Alex Caruso that I didn't think about. You're right. He is good off the ball. Because when he was playing with LeBron, obviously LeBron is not giving up control of the basketball. So obviously Caruso had to be the two to LeBron's one. Even when he was playing with Schroeder, I rarely saw Caruso running the point. Like, you're right. I saw him running the two all the time. And he was awesome at it, you know, because he knew his role. He played that defense. He shot that three. So I could see that happen. I'm wondering if Billy Donovan sees that as well, because we know how he loves those three-guard lineups. So I'm curious as to where he feels Ayo would fit in a three guard lineup. So I like him. I just like him controlling, you know what I'm saying, the ball and controlling the pace, because he wants to run and he wants to, you know, get everything started and he wants to get that pick and roll. And I loved him in the pick and roll because those bounce passes were pristine. They honestly were. Those passes he was making were really great. And when he's got a great big, like we'll talk about Marco in a second, but when he's got a great big, either Vooch, you know what I'm saying, or somebody like that, it's going to look really good for him. You know, it's going to look really good. But the three-point shooting is what the issue is, because that's an issue, and it's going to be an issue because, as you know, Matt, in this league, if you're going to play that position, you have to be respectable, at least from the three-point line. You're going to have to be respectable. And it wasn't respectable in summer league. So he's a dude who works hard, who's a dude who lives in the gym, so I'm sure he'll work on that and try to improve it. But, yeah, that'd be interesting to see, though, Matt, if he's going to be the point guard coming off the bench until Kobe gets back.
And we'll talk about a couple of those other names from Summer League in just a minute. First, though, a quick break to tell y'all about Indeed. When hiring gets hard, you need Indeed, the job site that makes hiring incredibly simple. Just attract, interview, and hire. In fact, with Indeed, you can do all of your hiring in one place, even interviewing. Don't just hope that your perfect candidate will find you, just like Garin Pax hoped that the perfect player would find them. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. With Indeed assessments, choose from 130 different skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with the skills you need. And according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent and hire that talent fast. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Again, a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Big Dave, who else are we being sponsored by on today's program?
Well, Matt, I'm glad you asked me that wonderful, wonderful question. Let me talk to y'all for a second. I don't know if y'all know this about me, but I sweat. It's what I do. It's what I know. All my life, that's what it's been. You all don't know the struggle of ruining shirts, of going on that date, and that girl thinks, you know, you've had, you know, Aquaman in a headlock. You all don't understand that kind of struggle. But that's what it's been. But now, them days are over. Why? Because my people's over at Sweatblock. Doctor created, doctor recommended. Here's some awesome things about it. It works up to 7 days per use. You heard me, a week worth of dryness per use when you're rocking with Sweatblock. And here's my favorite. It's the dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. Did you hear what I said to you? If you're not dry, you get your money back. It's manufactured here in the USA. You've seen it tested and featured on Rachel Ray's show by guess who? Maybe some of the hottest people in the world, which are firefighters. They're hot all the time. They understand. It's the bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years. Over 13,000 reviews of positivity. You can wear what you want to wear. Nobody will know. It'll be your little secret. Nobody will ever tell you. And it's a must-have when you're traveling. Make sure you have some of that in your toiletry bag. And so let me tell you something. If you get it today, you go to sweatblock.com and you put in that promo code locked on. You know what you're going to get? 20% off at Amazon or CVS. We give you options to go get it, baby. 20% off when you go to sweatblock.com. Use the promo code locked in or go to Amazon or go to CVS. If it's someone you love that's dealing with this, please have them check this out. I use it. It's awesome. I ain't sweated no more, ladies and gentlemen. Baby, sweat block. Stay dry.
Beautiful. With that, let's keep our Summer League conversation going. You brought up his name, Big Dave, and I want to talk about him next. Marco Simanovic, who I thought, if anybody impressed me the most in Summer League compared to my expectations coming in, it was Marco. I know that his 3-point shot is giving Bulls fans some worries after his summer league performance, where he was 0 of 8 collectively from behind the three-point line in that stretch of games. He only shot 32% from three playing professionally overseas last season, and that is a shorter three-point line than the NBA three-point line. His shot looks like a little bit of a mess right now. It looks kind of flat. It looks a little wonky. And a lot of those 0 for 8 misses weren't even particularly close. Like, we know his three-point shot is a work in progress, and that's putting it kindly. Everything else about his game, I loved in these summer league games. I loved his screens. I didn't know he was that good at setting screens, but he proved to be a very good screen setter. When, you know, running the traditional pick and roll, he's also a guy who looks like he's very good at rolling in those pick and rolls and also slip screens and getting to good spots in the paint. And he also appears to be a guy who has pretty good hands when he is in those pick and roll and slip screen scenarios and is confident and not shying away from contact when he's being fed the ball. You know, I think he missed a couple of looks in close, but the fact that he already looks to have that element to his game down. And then the fact that his second to last game, he racked up 6 assists. There was one of my favorite plays in all of the summer league games combined was their final game against Charlotte Monday night, when he sets a little screen on the left elbow and then rolls over to the corner and then gets the ball and then throws this like whip sidearm no look pass all the way to the other weak side corner. And then it led to a swing and the Bulls knocked down a three. And that pass set up that beautiful possession. And I was like, wow, Marco in that one offensive possession displayed his ability to set a good screen, to slip that screen and get to a good spot on the floor, and then to make a pretty incredible cross-court pass. So, yeah, the three-point shot is a worry right now, but there are a lot of other things about his game that I'm loving. And, man, does he love getting out and running the floor in transition, too.
Yeah, he loves getting up and down the floor. He mentioned that interview after, I think, the second game in Summer League, how much he wants to do that. He wants to outrun centers up and down the floor. I agree, Matt. I told you this on this show, if there was anybody I was watching like a hawk, it was going to be Marco. And I mean, hawk-like. I was watching everything that he did. And I mean everything, especially this last game. I didn't look at anybody in this last game in the first half. I didn't look at anybody but him. I specifically focused on him. I wanted to see everything that he did. And when you look at him, Matt, he is so polished. I think that's the first thing that kind of stands out. He's so polished, incredibly fundamentally sound. He's never out of place. You just see how good his IQ is. It's never a play like when you're saying, dude, what are you doing? At least I haven't done that yet. What are you doing? Like, why are you there? No, you're supposed to be here. No, you're out of position. Like, you don't say those things. The critiques you have on him are things like, well, yeah, I need you to be better inside when you're playing defense. You know what I'm saying? I need your three-point shot to be better. It's never being out of position, not knowing where you're supposed to be, turning over the ball. You know what I'm saying? It's never any of those kind of things. I like the fact he can even put it on the floor and take it to the bucket when necessary. When everybody's open, he'll happily fake the pass and do a nice little half spin move on you and go to the bucket for a smooth layup. Not a clunky one, like he doesn't know what he's doing when he gets there. It looks smooth, and it looks like it's all thought out in his head before he even does it. That's impressive for a rookie. That's impressive. It really, really is. And maybe it's because he's a second rounder that we all are looking at him like this. Like, wow, like, dude, this dude really knows basketball and stuff like that. But whatever you want to feel the reasons are, these are the facts. Like, he looks nice. Like, he looks like, yeah, you should be on the floor in the NBA. You should get some time at the center position when Vooch is sitting down. That's the other thing, Matt. He gets to learn from Vooch. He gets to sit there and he gets to learn from a center. You don't think AK and everyone thinking that when they brought him over here? I guarantee you they definitely was thinking that. An offensive-minded center? Gee, what do we have that? Yeah, you got a guy like that already. I like his rebounds to improve because that was the other thing I liked about him in, when he was overseas, Matt. When he would have 18, he would have 12 rebounds. Mm-hmm. I'd like to to improve a little bit more, because at least the last two games, he had like 4 rebounds, you know, and kind of in the second half, he would disappear and you wouldn't get any more rebounds or anything like that. So I'd like to see that improve a little bit more. But overall, Matt, for a second round pick and what I saw and his footwork and his IQ, you know, I love IQ, Matt. And you, man, I saw it out there. I was impressed.
Yeah. And, you know, while his rebounding numbers necessarily weren't super impressive, what I did like is that he was always active. He was always active and around the boards. And, you know, there were a couple of times where he was close to, you know, getting a rebound and it was a 50-50 ball, but he was in there and fighting. And despite the fact that he's a pretty slim frame right now, whether it was fighting on the glass or, as you said, at certain moments, putting the ball on the hole or even on slip screens, rolling to the bucket, not shying away from contact. Like, he looks like a dude whose frame is somebody who should be afraid of contact. Yeah. But whether it's him fighting in, you know, in the trees for boards or attacking the basket and initiating he is not afraid of contact. And I love that about him, because as Bulls fans are wondering, can Marco be the new Lowry? And it's like, okay, well, clearly his 3-point shot is not where Lowry's is and was, but you know what he looks like he's way better at already than Lowry when it comes to tall guys? Creating contact, initiating contact, not shying away from contact, getting in the mess of the boards, because that was never something that Lowry got good at or figured out how to do. And despite the fact that I would like to see Marco maybe add a little bit of upper body muscle to better, you know, allow him to do a variety of things on the defensive end and hold his ground against some of the bigger, stronger guys in this league compared to his other league. I like the fact that like mentality wise, he's like, I'm not shying away from anything.
Yeah. I think you'll see that come, you know, as he progresses year two, year three and stuff like that. I think you'll definitely see him put that muscle on and that weight. But you're right, Matt, like he's not scared to go inside and mix it up, and he does it. What's impressive, Matt, he's doing this without fouling. Like he's going in there being aggressive, but he's not just flailing around. You know what I mean? It's stuff like that. Like it's all calculated when he's in there doing his thing. So that's what impressed me the most, to be, what is he, 21 and to just be at that level here fundamentally. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to teach him certain fundamentals. He just knows what to do. Whether he can do them all or not, that remains to be seen. But overall, man, he's got to play. Like, you got to put him in the game.
And not only do I think he held his own going up against some stronger guys in these summer league games, like muscle and physically speaking, I was also pleasantly surprised by how well he moves his feet for a dude his size. Like there were some defensive possessions where he had what appeared to be a mismatch on him. He got switched onto a guard or whatever, and he kept guys in front of him. He moved his feet well, kept guys in front of him, stayed up straight, didn't, as you said, commit dumb fouls. And I was like, wow, I am pleasantly surprised by how well this dude is moving his feet already on the defensive end. So something else to be looking forward to optimistically when it comes to Marco. We have one more summer league player that we want to touch on at least just a minute before we also want to get to some press conference reactions. First, another quick break to tell y'all about our dear friends at Built Bar. Did you know the Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone? Some of my favorites are cookies and cream, mint brownie, raspberry, cherry barcia. There's so many delicious flavors, so you gotta try them all. And you can try them all by getting a mixed box from built.com, where you'll get 2 of each of their 9 always available flavors. Not only are these Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy for you too. Every single Built Bar, regardless of the flavor, has either 17 or 18 grams of protein in every bar, and the calories range from 130 to 180 per bar. That's not bad at all when it comes to calories in a protein bar. They all have either 4 or 5 grams of sugar and just 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. All amazing flavors. They're all delicious, and they're all healthy for you too. And did you know that they were the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team in Tokyo? If they're good enough for medal-winning Olympians,
come on,
then they're good enough for you. So you should try them because they're delicious and they're good for you. So go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Oh, Big Dave, what if somebody is out there looking for car parts right now?
Well, Matt, if they're looking for car parts, there's only one thing they need to do. Stay at home. You don't have to go out to find those car parts anymore. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. You can stay at home. Why? Because of our people over at rockauto.com. You will save your time. You will save your money. Why spend 50%, 75%, heck, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? It's a family-owned business serving the do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. The prices are reliably low, not just for one customer, but for every customer that come through. You're going to get you a great, reliably low price. They got everything you need. Brake parts. You need your tail lamps. You need your motor oil. You need some carpet. They got it all for you, man. I promise you, the people at rockauto.com will take care of you. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Now, when you go to that website and you go to rockauto.com, write in Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us section so they know that we are the ones who sent you to go get you some parts and save you some money. Amazing selection, reliably low price, all the parts your car will ever need. This goes out to you, Jack, in the UK. Rockauto.com.
Yeah. Yet another person who's getting on my butt about saying bow.
I don't see the problem. Hey, I love
it. You got the clarification from the man who invented the handle and the name, people.
And he told me I was wrong.
No, I love Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. No.
Mama's right. Something's wrong with your medulla oblongata. Shout out to Jack in the UK, man. Thanks for loving
Mama said that alligators own it because they got all them teeth and no toothbrush.
No toothbrush.
Oh, my goodness. Real quick, and then we'll move on to press conference stuff. Patrick Williams, he played three games, and essentially, Dave, what I saw from him was he was in a new role in that he was handling the ball a lot more than he did his rookie year. He was initiating offense as a primary ball handler a lot more than he did his rookie year. And because of that, we saw, as you had brought up earlier, his flaws as a ball handler, his handle still looking loose, and the fact that he was creating some turnovers, maybe trying to force things a little bit to create his own shot when he still hasn't built out a larger repertoire of moves when he's trying to beat guys off the dribble.
Right.
I am concerned about those weaknesses and flaws we saw in his three games in summer league. Negative 80%. I do not care. You know why? Because he's 19 and he is the fifth offensive option on this starting five this upcoming season. Yeah. The stuff that we wanted to see from P. Will. A more confident variety of three-point shots, a better three-point shooting form, and being active and deadly off the ball. We saw all of the things that we needed to see. So anybody panicking about Patrick Williams' turnovers or his ball handling in some summer league games, he's 19. It's going to be okay.
He's 19. It's insane that he's 19. He is the person, Matt, in the summer league, when you look on the court, and you don't know anything about basketball, but if you just looked on the court and you saw him, you'd be like, he can play, can he? Like, that's what your first assessment would be, just off the eye test. First of all, you see he's gotten bigger. You see that. That's step one. He does not look like the same human being at all. He is a different built monster. Secondly, you see the confidence now. You see the aggression now. He said it himself, it's not his nature to be that. He has to, that's something he has. He said, but that's what they want from me. So it's something I'm going to have to learn. And you watched how he has gone out and learned it. That fourth quarter in that game, too, I can't talk about it enough. When they were like, he was demanding the basketball, saying, give me the ball. I'm taking us home. You saw it on the final dunk he had, basically to seal that game. When he threw it down, Matt, no cool lay-in. You know what I mean? No fumbling or nothing. He went up strong and he jumped over the rim to look down in it and throw it down. It was special to watch him play. Like Matt said, I don't mind the turnovers, none of that dribbling stuff, because he won't be called to do these things. The only time I think you'll really see him getting those calls will be when he's with the second unit. So I expect him and DeMar DeRozan to be with that second unit. And when they're out there, you know, he'll be one of the top two. So, yeah, you'll look at him a little more. But regardless of that, with that starting five, basically your fifth option is that. It's that dude right there who's scoring 30. I don't care who it's against. You score 30, dog. Like, for real, that's nothing to shake a stick at. It's nothing to sneeze at there, buddy. You dropped 30-7, and you had the assist, and you hit about 4 3-pointers. He was awesome. Yes, you take a break. I didn't want to see anymore, man. I was happy they told him to sit down. I didn't need to see anymore. I was done. I was finished.
Yeah. Well said. With that, I want to now shift gears and talk about some of these introductory press conferences of our newest toys that Bulls fans are excited about. Ooh. With DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, and Alex Caruso. So because of COVID and precautions, all of these introductory press conferences were done via Zoom, like all of, you know, the media availability last year. So it's unfortunate that we couldn't get that fun. You know, here we are at the Advocate Center, all of the players holding up their jerseys and people taking pictures and the media being there. I was bummed that couldn't be part of these initial press conferences from our newest members. But I still think that there's a lot of good stuff to talk about. And I want to start here, Big Dave. Okay. And then we can go to wherever else.
Sure.
My favorite thing in any of those three press conferences of our three big free agent acquisitions was DeRozan basically saying, in layman's terms, I don't give a damn about fit. And people are talking too much about fit. Because I was like, thank you. Thank you for saying that for us. Because you're the dude who's coming here and is going to actually do a lot and is a great fit. Thank you for telling all these national talking heads and pundits to shut the bleep up about fit. Yeah. Here's one quote that I want to read for you from DeMar DeRozan's press conference.
Sure.
I mean, it's basketball. A lot of people I see criticizing, talking about fit this and fit that, have probably never even played basketball.
Slap.
For me, if everybody's on the same page mentally and wants to win, it doesn't matter about fit, because it's all going to come down to because it's all going to come together how it needs to come together and make it work. At the end of the day, the common denominator is winning. If you have that mentality going into it, everything will figure out how it needs to be figured out in the process. That's where chemistry is built. I never really get caught up in all this stuff about fit this, fit that, this and that. At the end of the day, you bring that mentality of winning and everything's going to come together how it needs to come together. I love that. And if you like, DeRozan didn't need to cite all of the ways in which actually the fit is a good fit.
Right.
He brings playmaking that Zach LaVine does not have. And that maybe Lonzo, even with Lonzo's skills in a half court playmaking sense, does not have.
Come on.
He brings getting to the free throw line that the Bulls did not have. He brings a crunch time option to take pressure off of Zach LaVine that the Bulls did not have last season, that the Bulls did not have. He is a good fit, but I like the fact that his answer was, y'all, it's about winning. I'm good, and I'm here because I want to win. Shut the F up about fit.
You know what? Matthew Peck is correct. I wrote down two quotes from DeMar DeRozan. One he did not say during his press conference, but I found it interesting. And the other one he did. I'll read you the one that he didn't say. He was on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, and this is what he said, because Shannon Sharpe asked him about going into year 13. It's all about winning at this point. Going into my 13th season and seeing all these guys just compete for a championship. At this point, you got to weigh out the opportunity to win a championship kind of more, especially with the career I've had. I've been fortunate to make a lot of money, but at this point, the ultimate goal is to compete for a championship. He's not here for money. He got it, of course, but he ain't here for that. He's trying to win. He put himself in the best situation to win. Why? Because he realized in his 13th year, I can't carry this. It's not my thing right now. I can't carry this. I'm going to need some help. Maybe I can cheat off of some things. Yes, now he can come somewhere where he's going to be the legitimate. He could be a legitimate two or three option on the team. We could run it through Zach. We could run it through Vooch. And like Matt said, when things aren't going right, man, I wish we had another dude we could just give it to and he can go get some buckets. Oh, yeah, now we do. Here's the ball, DeMar DeRozan. Let me see that incredible footwork. Let me see you get to that free throw line. Let me see that mid-range maneuver. He's trying to win. He's not here just to get these monies, man. This ain't a Carmelo situation. Melo was trying to get paid. He trying to win, and he trying to win, and it just feels good that he's doing it here. Now, the other thing I wrote down was something he said about Zach LaVine. And this it just, you know, made my toe shoot up in my boot when he said this. You see, he's talking about Zach. You see this guy wants to win bad. Again, talking about winning. You see this guy wants to win bad. You see the work ethic players like Zach puts in. For me, that never goes unnoticed. Talking about him made it even more enticing. You see him as a part of Team USA. I know what that process is like, and I know what it does for players. What did we sit here and talk about all the time, Matt, about what Team USA is going to do for Zach LaVine? It's going to elevate him. It's going to put him in a level where he's used to winning. It's going to put him around great players where he can be like, oh, is this what you have to do to win? Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Well, guess what? I know it now. Now I can come back and be a better basketball player. You know who else knows what that's like? DeMar DeRozan. He knows what it's like. And so now with him saying the same things that me and Matt have told you, and oh my God, he's putting it together with Zach LaVine and a dude he said he's been watching and wants to play with. He wants to be here. How can you not be excited for this, man? This is good stuff. This dude wants to win bad. He said, I think he said the word winning like 13 times in his press conference, if I'm not mistaken. They counted it. I think he said 13 times something about winning. That's what it's about, guys. That's a lot of times to say it. I can't wait to get him to get on the floor to do it. Oh, let's do this stuff. Pull out the games. I'm ready.
He said winning more times than 3x the number of games that Zach has won in a row.
Zinger.
Shifting now to Lonzo Ball, I think there was one pretty obvious takeaway from Lonzo's press conference from my perspective. You know, he said things like about, you know, he was excited about, you know, getting up and down the floor, playing with Zach LaVine in transition, stuff like that. But the big answer to the big question of why Chicago, the answer for Lonzo was because they wanted me here and they wanted me for me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go somewhere where I was appreciated and could play my game. And it sounds in my, you know, from what the Bulls pitched to him, and he said he was very impressed with the Bulls front office and also Billy Donovan, that they want him to come here and play his game and excel playing his game. And that they wanted him here and made that known. To me, that makes me think of one of the dumbest things that we had to hear as Bulls fans over the failed rebuild of years past and he who must not be named. When he who must not be named, when asked about, do you worry about this behavior and this quote and that quote, making players, top tier players in other markets, not want to come here and play for you. And he who must not be named said, well, I don't care. Maybe we don't want those players. If they don't want to play my brand of basketball, then maybe we don't want those players or something to that effect. And my eyes rolled out of my head and I slammed that head against the wall because as long as that dude was this team's head coach, you know who was coming here? Nobody. Because nobody wanted to play for a coach who was so disrespectful to his players like that. Because guess what? The NBA, it's a players' league, man. It's a players' league. And the Bulls' new front office and their new coach made Lonzo Ball feel welcome, wanted, and appreciated.
Yes.
That is a huge shift. That is a huge shift, and it should not be overlooked.
Man, Matt. Way to put that in perspective. Like, straight up. Like, honestly, way to put that in perspective. That is actually the only quote I wrote down from his press conference was what you just said about what he said. It's the only thing I wrote down. They were the team that stood out. that wanted me for me. That was it for me. He could have wrapped it up right there. Like, I was good. Like, we good to go, man. I don't need no more questions. They wanted him. Obviously, that meant a lot to him. Obviously, that meant tons. Like I told you all before, when I asked Kendall Gill about things that players want when they're looking for in free agency, I asked him, where does comfort come into play on that? And he said, oh, it's one of the top two or three things that you're looking for. But of course, besides money, one of the top two things you're looking for is comfort. And Lonzo is like, yeah, that's what I want. I want some comfort right now. I want somebody to be accepting of my game and it's going to let me do it my way. Yeah. Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to come here and do it your way? Because if you doing it other people's way made you one of the most sought after free agents this year, imagine if you get to do it the way that you want to, with an actual excellent basketball coach who enjoys point guards. And a team that is dying for a point guard, starving for a point guard. He picked the right, it was just a perfect fit for him. And I'm so glad he's here, Matt. I can't wait to watch alley-oops just happen out of nowhere. I can't wait to watch just excellent passes and making something out of nothing. I can't wait to watch the offense actually be competently run. Players actually being in the right position, knowing what to do. And then I can't wait to watch him play defense, because I can't wait for people to I promise you, you're going to hear the term, you know what, you know, Lonzo's an underrated defender. I guarantee you someone's going to say that, man. I guarantee it. Because, no, he's not underrated. We've been telling you this dude can play defense. We know what it is. You just ain't been paying attention. I can't wait for this, man. 6'6", and he shoots 38% from the field. And like I said, man, like you said also, he's going to be so wide open on those catch and shoots. Because what you going to do? Don't double Zag, you're going to double DeMar, you're going to double Vooch. Patrick Williams is going to be a problem. Somebody's going to be open, and it's going to be Lonzo. He's going to get a lot of looks at three-point line, man. So, yeah, wanting a player for themselves and wanting them to excel being themselves, that's a thing that matters in life, not just basketball. Trust me, that's a beautiful thing, man. Wonderful, wonderful.
And now, lastly, let us shift to Alex Caruso. Not as big of a signing headline kind of signing like Lonzo and DeMar, but also had some interesting thoughts in his opening press conference as a Chicago Bull. Mm-hmm. Obviously asked about, you know, what he was going to bring on the defensive end specifically and his path, his journey. I mean, there are a lot of reasons I like Caruso as a low-key addition, but maybe one of my favorite things about him is this is a giant chip on shoulder guy. Yes. Undrafted, you know, got a look here and there in summer league, fought his way onto a two-way with the Lakers, turned that into a real contract, and then just signed himself a contract close to $40 million. And is a guy who everybody pretty much throughout his career thought, nah, you can't play at this level.
They did. That's true.
Every team needs a dude like that, I think. And, yeah. When it comes to his defensive approach, I thought this was a really interesting quote from Caruso about what he brings on the defensive end and some of that toughness. He said, I think toughness is a lot about resiliency. Mm. I have a naive mindset where I always believe I'm going to get the job done. Mm. That's kind of carried me, whether that is correct or not. I lose a lot of the time, and failure is part of the process, but that mindset has helped me get to where I am today. And then he went on to say, I think care factor is a big part. Caring every possession, having that mindset of wanting to get that stop, having the pride that you don't want your guy to score and you're trying to win games. That's where it starts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see Caruso hopefully have that mentality of his on the defensive end rub off on some of his teammates who are maybe a little less inclined to play like that on every defensive possession. I think coupled with Zach LaVine last year, making some improvements in the NBA, making it a primary focus in his Olympic team efforts this summer. I want to see that kind of defensive mentality that we haven't necessarily seen from these Bulls. And hearing Caruso describe it that way, it's like, it's about being overconfident despite knowing that there are a lot of talented offensive players in this league. And I might lose more often than I win, but I go into guarding every possession thinking I'm going to win. And how many NBA players are not nearly as good of a defensive player as they could be solely because they don't have that mentality, Dave?
That's beautifully put. And I like the fact, once again, we are on the same page, because that is part of the quote that I have right here from my man Caruso. And just to finish the part of the quote that you said, that the pride is to not let your guy score is to win games. The last thing he said about it is, that's something I can provide day in and day out. When he said that right there, I said Bulls fans will be in love.
Yep.
They will be in love with this dude right here, man. He can't wait to take the charge. He can't wait to dive on the floor and get a steal for you. You know, he can't wait to get that deflection. He can't wait to win a jump ball against a seven-footer. And, you know, he can't wait to do those little tiny things because he knows that's what got him here. He knows what got him here. It's that overconfidence, like you said. It's that being naive, thinking that I'm the best in the world. Hell, everybody should walk around thinking like that. Ask Denzel Valentine. I promise you, as much as we can't stand Denzel Valentine, he would not be where he was if he did not have that mindset. I promise you, he wouldn't have got them millions of bucks. Now, he's not good, and he's not our problem anymore. We get that. But Caruso is a little bit different because he has the talent and things to go with it. And here's another part of that, Matt, because we're talking about that defense. Him as a point guard, he's really solid. Because one of the things he did mention in that press conference was talking about when he was playing with LeBron James, which will only help your game, by the way, when you're looking at one of the greatest players to ever play. It's only going to help you. One of the things he said was, I'm going to miss, you know, throwing those lobs up to LeBron. But hopefully me and Zach could get on the same page and I could throw him a bunch of lobs too. Oh, my God. You know how long it's been since we've seen athleticism on this team? Like, Zach just like, hey, you know, I could jump through the roof. Can somebody throw me the ball? Oh, nah, we don't have nobody that can do that for you, Zach. How about Otto Porter Jr., baby? You know, like, we had nobody.
And Caruso said in this press conference, he's like, yeah, I'll miss throwing lobs to LeBron, but I'm pretty excited about throwing lobs to Zach LaVine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yes, he can't wait to toss that up there. Because how does that not excite you? How does that not excite you? Because you get to throw it to this dude, Zach LaVine, man. Yeah, that's what other part of his game I think people are failing to mention is he is a solid facilitator. He is a pretty good passer, man, and not a bad shooter either. And he will go dunk on you. He will definitely do that. So don't let the whiteness fool you. He will go dunk on you, okay? And you will be embarrassed, and Bulls fans will be cheering. But yes, Matt, his bread and butter will definitely be on that defensive end. And you're right, because I think that kind of mentality, and when you're seeing somebody playing that hard, it can't do anything but rub off on you and make you want to play even harder. Think of how Ayo is right now. Now, think of Ayo watching Caruso, even being on the floor with him, you know what I'm saying, clamping down the defender. You don't think that's going to rub off on him to make him want to go out there and be a little harder? Maybe Coby White play a little harder defensively. Guys do a little different things, you know? They get to see how a guy who's won prepares. Mm-hmm. And that can't be understated. He's won. So you're going to watch how he's prepared. DeMar DeRozan is a winner in this league. He hasn't won a championship, but he's a winner in this league. You get to watch how that dude prepares. So they did a great job, Matt, the front office, of bringing in guys that not only can contribute to your team, but can also help these young guys also realize their potential. Because Patrick Williams and DeMar DeRozan, oh, my God. Who else? Oh, come on, man. You know Patrick Williams is a mid-range dude. Why not learn from one of the best mid-range guys out there? You know Ayo's a defender. Why not learn from two of the best unball defenders in the league? Like, you're getting guys. We see Marco can score. Why not learn from one of the best scoring big men? They set it up so nice, man. And I can't wait to watch it. I really can't wait.
Yeah. And, you know, final thought on Caruso, as far as what we look forward to him bringing defensively specifically. Look, I think Bulls fans were sad to see Thad Young go and know that maybe we're a little worried about interior defense.
Correct.
And we couldn't keep Daniel Tice because he was too expensive. Worried about interior defense.
Yeah.
And guess what? In my opinion, the Bulls, with this Caruso addition, can address something that was a much bigger problem last year, which is point of attack defense. Because, Thad Young could hold his own. Guarding a variety of guys. Patrick Williams, even as a rookie, guarded 2 through 5. And he guarded our opponent's best player every night. And some nights he got cooked, and some nights he held his own. True. But point of attack defense is something that I am looking forward to being much better for the Bulls this season, whether it be Lonzo or Caruso out there, because that was the thing that was so frustrating. It's like, well, yeah, maybe Thad could bail us out, or maybe a heroic Pat Williams recovery block from the weak side could bail us out. But the Bulls let their opponents get into their offensive sets so easily last season. And why? Because they had no point of attack defense. No offense to Coby White, but the dude stinks at it. He's young. Maybe he'll get better. Sato, average at best, putting it kindly, not a great aggressive point of attack defender. So that is a glaring weakness and a noticeable, here's a leak, here's a plug for that leak. And wonder what you might be able to get away with maybe slightly less intense and strong interior defense if your perimeter defense isn't letting them set up their sets. Like, it's a give and take a little bit of what you can get away with and where. I would much rather have pests preventing our opponents from even setting up their offense every night. I don't know. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm way more excited to look at it that way.
I wasn't even looking at it like, you're right. Much rather have pests, because you're right. Like, think of all the pests in the past of the Chicago Bulls. Did you not love them? I mean, you loved them, didn't you? Every night you were like, wow, that dude, they're going to hate playing this person. They're going to hate playing Dennis Rodman. You're going to hate playing Joakim Noah. They're going to be all in you. You're not going to like none of it. Well, now you got some of those guys on this team. Teams right. are not going to, I promise you, their benches and are not going to be looking forward to playing Caruso.
You know, the last one of those players the Bulls had who is no longer with the team? It's Chris Dunn.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Pest.
You know what Alex Caruso gives you that Chris Dunn didn't give you? Playing 5-on-5 instead of 4-on-5 on the offensive end.
Correct. And he won't go 1-on-4 on a fast break by himself and just leave everybody.
He won't insist on taking a jump ball against a dude who's 7 feet tall. Because I think I can. That's where the because I think I can ends with actual logic and extended beyond in some cases. But
it's not his fault. That's the coach's fault. Every player should think they could do that. It's the coach that's supposed to say, no, this guy's 80 feet tall. I shouldn't send you in there to jump up against him. No, the coach is like, well, you know, I believe in him. Like, this ain't Hoosiers.
Hey, man. Well, if you're not that kind of player, then maybe we don't want you here.
Well, you know what we don't want? You. Get out.
Oh, goodness. All right. So we covered a lot of ground there. That's a wrap on Summer League. We'll see if we get any more press conferences or media availability from some of these new Bulls. But my guess is things are going to be pretty quiet now between now and training camp starting up 6 weeks from now. Summer League is over. We're about to hit the dead period of the NBA calendar year. Lauri Markkanen still floating around. We'll see what happens there. But I really liked what we heard from our free agent additions in these first interviews. It got me really excited for the season. We did not have time to get to the NBA's nationally televised schedule that was released Tuesday afternoon on this episode. So we will get to that later on in the week and our reactions there and anything else Bulls or NBA breaking that may come across. Until then, thanks for listening. Hit us up on that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369 for our weekly mailbag episodes. You can also send us an email if you can't text or call us, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I am at Bulls_Peck. Big Dave is at BAWL, BAWL Sports.
You see what you did? You see what you did, Jack? This is your fault. You see what you did, man?
And we are at Locked On BAWLs. Just kidding. We're at Locked On
Bulls. Oh, my God.
For my co-host, Big Dave, I'm Matt. Thanks for listening to Bulls Nation. Till next time, see red, be good. Peace out.